In this week's update, a pause for breath, but the bull market continues. Inflation is in focus again this week, and retail grabs the headlines on the corporate front. Last week was the weakest on Wall Street for around 2 months, with the S&P 500 down nearly 1%. Not a disaster, but a reminder 18 months into this remarkable recovery that markets do not move in a straight line. Confidence was knocked last week by US factory gate inflation data showing a 0.7% month-on-month rise in August, a bit higher than expected. It seems like supply chain disruptions are having a nasty impact on both growth and inflation. The spectre of stagflation looms. This week we get more inflation data with consumer prices numbers on both sides of the Atlantic, and the narrative is firming up that price rises are going to be persistent into next year. COVID-related shutdowns in China, shortages of drivers and rising demand are creating bottlenecks in everything from semiconductors to chicken thighs. Inflationary worries are forcing central banks' hands, and last week the ECB said it would moderately slow its purchases of bonds. The head of the Philadelphia Fed this week said that the level of bond purchases deemed necessary in response to the pandemic was no longer relevant. As a result, the markets are bringing forward their expectations of when interest rates will start to rise. Bond yields, as a consequence, are nudging higher again. The 10-year Treasury is back up to 1.35%. So, in the circumstances, it's not surprising that shares should have paused for breath. We're also into the difficult September-October period when most of the stock market's biggest corrections have taken place. The Fed is getting ready to taper, COVID is here to stay, and the market has doubled from its low last spring. That's a pretty good recipe for market nervousness, especially as the talk of a summer correction along the lines of the 2010 relapse at the same point of the post-financial crisis recovery came to nothing. We seem to be pushing our luck. Understandable, but perhaps still misplaced. To take the September-October issue, it's worth remembering that the averages are severely skewed by a handful of big falls. Actually, it's a 50-50 call, pretty much, on whether any given week is up or down in this autumn period. That's a bit behind the average over the whole year, but not a reason to be paranoid about investing at this time of year. Secondly, even if the market does correct from here, it's not a given that prices need to fall far for that to take place. Corrections can happen dramatically or stealthily in the form of sideways moving markets for a period of time. Look beneath the surface of the market and it's possible that this is already happening. Strip out the big growth stocks that have picked up the market leadership baton again since the spring, and most parts of the market have been going nowhere for quite a few months. Value stocks, which enjoyed a big spike higher from last November until about April, have run out of steam. In all the important ways, the market's performance over the past 18 months has been in line with previous similar episodes. Share prices moved first, then earnings caught up, bringing apparently high valuations down to more sensible levels. It's worth remembering also that as investors become more nervous about the prospects for fixed income, as yields rise, they'll look to put their money to work somewhere else, and that probably means the stock market, and in particular the reflation trades, such as banks, that can benefit from a rising interest rate environment. It's human nature to be on the lookout for changes in market direction, for a bull market to reverse, but history suggests that the most sensible thing as an investor is to stick with it. The trend is your friend, as the old market saying goes. This week's big focus is, once again, inflation. The pace of price rises is running at close to a 13-year high in the US, and the consensus forecast is for August to show a 5.3% rise, in line with the 5.4% increase in July. Even stripping out volatile measures like energy and food, the core increase will be about 4.3%. The interesting question for investors and policymakers alike is whether the gains are transitory, as the Fed hopes, or shifting towards more sustainable increases and broadening out from obvious pandemic-related disruptions, which have been the main driver of price rises so far, to more general increases. Here in the UK, the inflation number on Wednesday is just one element in a week-long string of data, which also includes jobs figures on Tuesday and retail sales numbers on Friday. The data are related, of course, having worried at the start of the pandemic that mass unemployment would follow widespread lockdowns. The focus has now shifted to whether labour shortages might drive inflation higher. Anecdotally, we're seeing evidence that in certain areas, notably lorry drivers, companies are paying up to attract workers to keep supply lines open. This will be a key factor in the Bank of England's interest rate decisions in the months ahead. Last month, unemployment fell to 4.7% in the 3 months to June. A key question is whether that trend continues as the furlough scheme runs down. There were still 1.6 million workers being paid to do nothing in August, many of whom may not be taken back on when companies are obliged to meet the full cost. Last week's announcement of a hike in both employees but also employers' national insurance bills will provide another headwind for the UK jobs market when it kicks in next year. In terms of markets, the big debate is not so much whether the US can keep rising, but whether or not China should be on international investors' shopping lists. The increase in regulatory interference from Beijing has certainly spooked investors in recent months, as the authorities have attempted to clip the wings of big technology companies on the one hand, and simultaneously targeted companies operating in three socially important sectors: education, property, and healthcare. These three sectors are known as the three mountains that all young families have to climb, not just in China, of course, but the world over. The difference is that Beijing has decided that it is the role of the government to make it easier for families to cope with these universal challenges, and it's squeezing companies to make sure that it can support households. This is actually nothing new. Chinese capitalism has always been different from the Western model. More government interference, more regulation, and a greater risk that the rules will change unexpectedly. Long-term investors in China have always realised that they need to factor these into their investment decisions. It's an argument for on-the-ground analysis and stock picking, and quite possibly a strong contrarian indicator that this out-of-favour market may be worth a look now. In terms of investment flows, and counter to that case for active management, the march of low-cost ETFs continues. By the end of August, global flows into exchange-traded funds reached $834 billion, already surpassing the total for 2020 of $762 billion. Thanks to these flows and to rising markets, the total amount invested in ETFs has reached $9.7 trillion, more than twice the $4.8 trillion reported at the end of 2018, less than 3 years ago. By contrast, actively managed US mutual funds have reported net outflows in 12 out of the past 13 years. Cumulative outflows since 2008 have been $2.8 trillion. In the first 6 months of this year, 199 ETFs were launched versus 109 mutual funds. And finally, on the corporate front, there's a retail focus this week, both old world and new. Ocado will bring us up to date on the online shift in groceries. Has it peaked now that the double-vaxxed food shoppers are becoming more relaxed about going to the supermarket? And meanwhile, the old world of department stores will be in the spotlight, as John Lewis reports. It's been a grim 18 months for the middle-class favourite, with 16 sites axed in the period. Retail sales data wrap things up on Friday.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.